We're going to continue our series in Romans this morning. And Steve covered last week the first part of chapter 5. And he spoke and explained what justification means. And that we are justified with Christ. This morning I will cover the second part of chapter 5. And you might have noticed that we had a little bit of repetition in what we covered with Romans so far. And this will continue today as well. And why is this happening? Well, Paul wants us to make sure that we get it, that we fully understand what he's talking about. And this is the core of the gospel. My prayer for us all this morning is that we will get it and understand it fully, not just understand it with our hearts, with our heads, but with our hearts. And that we will accept Jesus as our Savior if we haven't done so. And if we have, that we are in awe and wonder of the saving work of Jesus. Because that's the most amazing miracle that has ever happened. It's a bit like revision, I think, with what's happening with Paul. I just want to mention some of our year 11s, well, all of our year 11s, are going through that stage at the moment. And I would like to ask you to pray for them. We've got seven year 11s in our youth. Not all of them come to church. But they have started, or they're starting this week with their GCSE exams for the next, I think, five weeks. So please pray for them, yeah? Because for them, it's a massive thing at the moment, yeah? I've seen the build-up in school to all of this. So remember them in the next couple of weeks. But here is in the Bible, it's to make sure that we understand the message. And it's an amazing message. It's the message about Jesus and about Jesus and about Jesus dying on the cross. That's what it's all about. So let me pray first before we carry on. Father, I do want to thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you that whatever is written in the Bible is pointing to Jesus. From the first verse in the Bible to the last. Lord, it's all about your son and his saving work on the cross. Lord, I want to thank you that he was willing to die for each and every one of us on the cross. Lord, I pray that you will help us to open up our hearts, to open up our minds and our ears this morning, to listen to what you have to say to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you like me, but I like to stay up to date with the news. Locally, nationally, internationally. And I have my notification switched on from BBC Breaking News. And I do know there's some in this room that have the same. Because sometimes you're in meetings and something suddenly pops up and you think, oh, it's HLC WhatsApp group, or it might be the BBC. Yeah. And it's one of those. But do you ever wonder how our world survives the chaos we find ourselves in? Another day goes by that people are being murdered, bombed, kidnapped, or whatever. And it would be so easy for us to be in despair if we would allow this to happen, and if we would only look at this. I sometimes talk with people who are just down, they're ready to give up, when they listen to the news, and I agree that it would be easy sometimes to do that when we listen to the news and when we look around us. Last Sunday evening at the youth, we talked about our creation and more about the fact what we have done to it and what we can do to be a good steward of what God had entrusted to us. And it's easy to look at the negatives and not look at the positive things that are happening as well. However, we don't have to live like this. And I hope that we walk out here this morning encouraged about the fact that we don't have to live in despair. We can live in hope. We can live in faith, even when everything around us seems to be falling apart. And this might be in your personal life through circumstances. It might be because of health issues that you're facing at the moment, family issues that you're facing at the moment, or what else that life is throwing at you this morning. But there is hope and there is faith. And that's the amazing thing, what Jesus has done for us. So let us read in Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 12 to 21. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Moses, of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this man, this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other man obeyed God, many will be made righteous. So God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I find it a very interesting passage, as Paul takes us right back to the start of the Bible, to the start of creation. Remember that a couple of weeks ago that he took us back to Abraham and we looked at David as well, but now Paul takes us completely back to the point that sin entered the world. And I've read from the NLT version, but I also like how the ESV and the NIV puts it. The ESV and the NIV uses the word trespass. When we trespass, we commit an offense against something or someone. The dictionary also translates it with sin. But what I found interesting about this is that Adam crosses a line. I would compare it with when you see the sign, no trespassing. Do you not find it tempting to go and just do that? I remember that when I was a teenager, where we grew up, at the back of our garden, we could go into fields. And then afterwards, we were more fields, and there was a very old, abandoned building. And me and my friends, we went to this building very often. But there was always a sign there, no trespassing. Well, of course, not in English because it was in Flemish. But anyway, it all means the same. But what did we do after a while? We trespassed. We climbed through the gate and we went to see what was in this old abandoned building. And we found all sorts of things in there. And we went back there many times, until we were caught one day by some angry farmer. And then we had to dash for it to get out of this place. But we trespassed. Even now, I don't know if you are the same, but we are National Trust members. And when we go to one of these old stately homes, sometimes you come across doors that says no entry. I always wonder, what's behind those doors? I would love to go and see what's there, because I sometimes think that's where the treasures are. That's where everything is to find and to see. Now, I don't do those things anymore. No. But it's my curiosity, but I also think it's more than that. In some ways, we are a little bit wired like this. And I can almost visualize the same with the tree in the Garden of Eden. That the tree was surrounded with a sign, no trespassing. And what do Adam and Eve do? They just do that. So the trespass is the sin of Adam and Eve. And the gift that this passage is talking about is the gift of redemption through Jesus when he died on the cross for us. Jesus is sometimes called the second Adam, as Adam means man. And Paul explains to us that the trespass has certain consequences that cause certain things, and that the gift brings completely other things. Paul is explaining that we don't have to live in the trespass, and we can live as those who possess the gift that's been given to us. So what is the result of both of those? What is the contrast that we see here? Well, the trespass brought death. The gift brings grace. I think that we all know that Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. And sometimes I think we forget how much of an impact that act of sin had on creation and mankind. Their disobedience, their trespass, did more than just being thrown out of the garden. Their trespass introduced sin into creation. The result is that you and I, who are direct descendants of Adam, inherited a sinful nature. This doesn't mean that it's all Adam's fault, because we all share the same reality of sin in our lives. We have already seen in the early chapters in Romans that Paul points out to us that we all have sinned and fallen short. We don't have to teach our children to break boundaries or push boundaries or say no the whole time or start doing things what they shouldn't be doing. But there is more. And I think that this is the worst part. The trespass from Adam and Eve did not only bring sin into the world, it also brought about the penalty for that sin. And that is death. We all know for certain that we will die one day. But where will we spend eternity will depend on the choices we make. You see, the trespass of Adam brought death. And if that's all we had to look forward to, then life would be rather miserable. And we would only be living for ourselves, like we see so many people around us doing. Luckily, that's not the end. While the trespass brought death, the gift brings grace. The act of one man brought death. The act of another man, Jesus, brings the possibility of eternal life by bringing the amazing and wonderful gift of grace. What we lost with one man was given back in an amazing way by the incredible gift of Jesus to each and every one of us. It's the blood of Jesus that Jesus shed for you and me that covers all our sins in our lives, that is past, present, and future. It's through his grace that we can look forward to eternal life in his presence. And that is the amazing news that we have to offer the people around us. When Adam and Eve sinned, remember what they did? They tried to hide from God because they were ashamed of their sin. It's the same that happens with us when we sin. We want to hide somewhere We want to cover it up. One day we will not be ashamed anymore, as we will be declared clean and pure. We will be constantly in his presence. All temptation will be gone. Death will be no more. No more sickness. No more pain. And this reminds me of the song, I love, I love, I love your presence. The trespass brought death to many. The gift causes God's grace to overflow to many. In other words, if you choose to follow him, if you choose to accept him as your Lord and Savior, if you accept this free gift of grace, accept it to overflow in your life, God will never say to you or me, right, Sheila, you had enough love now. I'm going to love someone else. You had enough grace. No, it's there in abundance. He continues to let his grace overflow in our lives, if we will just let it all happen. The trespass brought death. The gift brings grace. The second thing I would like to cover this morning is this. The trespass brought judgment. The gift brings justification. Steve covered the meaning of justification last week. Sin brings judgment. It's that simple. God is holy and pure, and he cannot look upon sin, and he cannot allow it into his presence. He simply must do something about it. And he can do this in two ways. He can punish us for it, or he can punish someone else for it, and that's exactly what he did. God looked at you and me, and he said, I've got an idea. Instead of you dying for your sin, how about me dying for your sin? How about me sending my son Jesus, and he will die for you on the cross and carry your sins once and for all? Is that not amazing? He loves us so much that he sacrificed his son for us. And we have to make a decision. We can choose to live in this trespass and we will find the judgment that the trespass brings, or we choose to accept the gift and this will bring us the justification. In other words, God is willing to offer us a full pardon. This doesn't come because of what we do. We have covered this a couple of weeks ago. This only comes because the blood of Jesus is applied to our hearts and our sins are covered by the forgiveness paid for on the cross. The question is this: will we accept this justification God offers us by the gift of Jesus, or will we choose to remain in the condemnation? The trespass brought death. The gift brings grace. The trespass brings judgment. The gift brings justification. The last thing I want to look at is this. The trespass allows death to reign. The gift allows us to reign in life. I don't think that this comes as a surprise to us, but death reigns on earth. Plants and animals die. Our houses and possessions decay. You know that the death rate of humans is incredible. We will all die at some point. And it's not just the physical death. It's also the spiritual death. It's at an all-time high, especially here in the West. People are rejecting the saving work of Jesus. I come across so many people, and you know what they are focused on? Me, myself, and I. They are full of themselves instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They want everyone to jump for them instead of being willing to serve. We can see that death reigns around us. However, the story doesn't end there. The gift he gave us through Jesus allows us to not only survive, but to thrive. And this is what gives us that hope that we need. It's the prospect of our eternal life, an eternity in his presence. We have salvation through Jesus. We receive grace through him. We receive the guidance of his Holy Spirit. The trespass allows death to reign, but the gift allows us to reign in life. Have you seen the main differences between the trespass and the gift? The trespass brought death. The gift brings grace. The trespass brought judgment. The gift brings justification. The trespass allows death to reign. The gift allows us to reign in life through that what was accomplished on the cross. Is it not amazing that this is what God provided for us? All of this was accomplished the day that Jesus died on the cross for us. Everything was reversed from the day that it all went wrong in paradise with Adam and Eve. Everything what we read in the Old Testament, what the prophet spoke of, was all pointing in one direction. There was a direction of the saving work of Jesus. And we can now live lives that reflect hope and faith in God, knowing that we are righteous and have received justification. We need to live a life not because of something that will happen, but because of something that has happened. And that something was a wooden cross. Jesus has secured the gift for us. It's a done deal. This gift is there for us. It's a free gift. We don't have to do anything for it. Just accept it. It's so important for us to know that we are forgiven. Jesus paid for our sins, past, present, and future. And we also, in the same way, need to forgive others. How hard and difficult this can sometimes be. You know what? Dying on a cross was difficult as well. We need to get rid of things that pull us away from God. And I think that we all know what sins are. Let me point out something else. We can sometimes face hindrances. Things that are standing between me and God. Those things are not sins, but are things that will keep us from living a life totally surrendered to God, or could become sins. I don't know if you watched anything from the London Marathon a couple of weeks ago, and you might have noticed that there was one person running with a fridge. I mean, of all things that you want to run with, I wouldn't want to run with a fridge on my back, but anyway, this person will never win the race. Why? The fridge is a hindrance. We need to take stock of our lives and see if there's any hindrances to our walk with God. And you will know what pulls you away from Him, what distracts you from your time with God. It might be work, it might be social media, it might be other things. Does God come first in our lives, or is it those other things? And I do hope that you understand a bit more that there is a massive difference between the trespass and the gift. In fact, the difference is immeasurable. But we all have a choice. We can live in the trespass, or we can accept the free gift of grace. You see, we have looked this morning at two Adams. Both Adams have left a legacy. Both legacies involve a tree. One was a tree in the garden. The other one was a tree formed into a cross on Golgotha. Adam brought death. Jesus brings life. My question for us this morning is this. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior already? If not, what are you waiting for? Don't delay this, but take action. Maybe this spirit is working in your life at the moment. Today might be the day that you respond and say, yes, Jesus, I will accept you as my Lord and Savior. You know, there is nothing better than to be in His presence. And that is what we are looking forward to when we leave this earth. Maybe you have accepted Him already as your Lord and Savior, but maybe you need to take some time to look at your life. Is something hindering your walk with God? In a moment, we are going to sing a song, and that we are going to use as a time of reflection. And don't feel that you have to sing along with it. You can if you want to. And don't feel that you have to stand. You can if you want to, or if you just want to sit down, that's fine. But take some time to reflect on this. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior in your life or not? If you haven't, can I encourage you this morning to do that? And if you have done so, maybe it's time for you to take a look at your life and have a deep heart look and see what is pulling me away from Jesus. Is anything pulling me away from Him? And if there is, maybe you need to make some adjustments in your life. And then the band will stop singing after a while, and then we're going to go in a time of communion. Why? Because we are going to remember what Jesus did for us. This is what this passage is all about. It's the action from Adam in the garden, and that leads us to what Jesus did on the cross. He died for you and me. He gave His life for us. He carried our sins for us. That's the amazing message we have to the world around us. They're all looking for something. I know what they're looking for. It's Jesus. They're looking for the hope that the cross brings, that the grace brings. So let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Father, I do want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank You that He was willing to go on the cross and die on the cross for each and every one of us. Lord, I want to thank You that He carried our sins what we've done in the past, that we're doing now, we'll be doing in the future. Lord, I want to thank You so much that we don't have to do anything for that. It's a free gift from You to us. Lord, I want to thank You for Your grace. I want to thank You for the hope this brings. And Lord, I pray that there are people in this room that have not accepted You this morning as Lord and Savior, that they will accept You as Lord and Savior. Lord, that they will experience this miracle in their life. Lord, I want to pray for the people that we know in our own lives that haven't accepted You as Lord and Savior, that You will do this miracle in their lives. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank You for Your presence. And one day we will spend eternity with You. Lord, that's what we are looking forward to. So Lord, I pray that You will speak to us now when we take some time to reflect on our own lives. And that You will help us if anything is hindering our work with You. Lord, that we make those adjustments that are needed to put You first again. In Jesus' name, amen.